B-Pod Studios.
All right, it is the 4 o'clock hour, and it's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. People are emailing me saying that I don't recall you being so declarative when it came to the Joe Paterno statue. Well, in fact, if you listened, I was. And if you're not going to get it right, then don't email me. Because at the time, when it first hit, the news first hit, first thing I said is that he should resign. And secondly, I endorsed the firing of him. And then I endorsed taking the statue down. Because whether he knew or not, at that time, perception ruled. And with the media heat of today, the media heat would cause more negativity and overshadow any positivity at all. So in this day and age, when the media heat is so hot, you have to act that way. And when this came out about Kate Smith, you had to act because the negativity in the media heat would have been overwhelming against you if you didn't act. All right, let's go AJ in West Philly. AJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. AJ.
What's up, Big Mike?
What's going on, AJ?
Now, I called you last week, and I tried to lay a Bible verse on you that would make sense of the situation. I wanted to know, did you think that was out of line or a little bit too crazy? You know, most people don't even know about the Bible reading.
No, not at all.
All right, now listen. Now, that was, now can you see why some people were, the oppressors were slay the victims and call themselves innocent. Like, we didn't do nothing. Kate Smith ain't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Paterno ain't do nothing. You seeing that, right? So here's the answer, Mike. I'm hearing the people talking about going back in time, making Martin Luther King or Malcolm X statues and they was racist. This is what the Lord say. And Isaiah chapter 14, verse 21, he say, prepare slaughter for the children for the iniquity of their fathers. That's the only way this thing is really going to go, Mike, because there's people defending this thing to the death. You say, like...
You know why they're defending it, right? Because we are in, and unfortunately, we haven't gotten to the point where we can understand each other's viewpoint. So we've turned it into, like, here come the Redcoats versus the Confederates versus the Bluecoats. Right? Mm-hmm. It's like everything has to be a war. So white people go, well, this is a loss for us. We're not going to stand for this. And no progress is being made. It's like, I go, okay, this is okay. It's okay that the Flyers acted this way. It's not going to hurt my life in any way.
Yeah, listen, I think for this should be a big wake-up call that we all need to study history better. We need to see where these things came into place, find out who the real people was who. Because just saying these stories or this Kate Smith story that nobody knew about, it becomes so important to these people to keep her statue up. But we ain't even going to the games, Mike.
Listen, unfortunately,
the Bible got the answers. And
well,
I
appreciate you, AJ. Unfortunately, people make the rationale. Well, two songs in a catalog of about 4,000 songs, you're going to punish her for it? Well, that's unfortunate to Kate Smith and her family. It really is. But we live in a different age, and we can't not react to it. That's all I'm saying here. Is it unfair to the family? They get chastised like this? Her survivors? Probably. I have sympathy for that. But if she had the wherewithal to do these songs... She was a major star. If she thought it was wrong to do these songs, she could have said so. She chose to do the songs. Nobody put a gun to her head. She had more power than anybody that wanted her to do these songs. Let's go to Travis in South Jersey. Travis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Mike, tell Ty that green stuff in the jar was blue magic. It was green. It was the real deal. My dad still talks about it.
The green grease?
It's blue magic. Hey, you know, when I was a child, I've been childish things. I read the textbook. I took the material that was in the textbook. Lo and behold, come to find out, Preacher Plummets was he a hero or a villain? You know, everyone would say he was certainly a villain. You know, Spence, they arrested him. He admitted to his crimes. Did he open up the crime exchange? He sure did. You know, traded plants, animals, culture.
Travis, you got a really bad connection. Can you clear this up somehow? Because we hardly can hear you. You're very scratchy.
Is that any better?
Not any better. We'll put you on hold. We'll try to clear you up. Let's go Chuck in West Oak Lane. Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
Hey, what's happening? How you feeling?
What's up, Chuck?
Real quick, on Jared Dudley, I text Tyrone about this after the game and earlier today. all he's doing is selling wolf tickets. And basically what that means is that headband on his head is probably tougher than he is.
Well, listen, I got to give him a little credit. He's survived in a league for a lot of years. But you know what he is now, and he's just a hitman.
Pretty much. Now, on this Kate Smith thing, there's a couple things that bother me about this the most. The thing that bothers me the most is, Tyrone mentioned it in the beginning of the show, when people who, I don't want to say all white people, but because some white people don't agree with that, but when someone white tells you to get over something, that was them, that becomes frustrating and annoying. You can't experience, you don't experience something the way I experience it. So for you to tell me, you can say to me, I don't agree, that's fine, but don't tell me I need to get over it. That was then.
It's their way of making them feel less guilty. That's what it is. Here's the thing: if you're not willing to acknowledge the abrasions of the past, then maybe you're not willing to progress in this day and age. You know, it's all about what we're going to do from this point on. But we have all those lessons to teach us not to do it that way.
And then they say, well, it's not erasing history. Nobody's saying that she didn't sing those songs. Nobody's saying that those things didn't happen. What they're saying is, we know now that she sung songs that were deeply offensive. So the Yankees and the Flyers have said, because we know now, or whenever they knew, it got out to the public. Mm-hmm. We know that she sang those songs. We don't feel we can be associated with her anymore. That doesn't mean that she's a racist. It just means she sang deeply offensive songs, and they're making a judgment based on it's 2019. Mm-hmm. It's a new climate. Mm-hmm. We can't associate with that anymore.
Well, you know what's interesting? Like this story that I read, maybe in Sunday's paper, maybe in today's, the head of the Black Lives Matter, Aza Khalif, I think his name is. I mispronounced it before. And he said he's been after the Flyers for over a year to get rid of this song. And it took the public story of the Yankees for the Flyers to act. Now, that kind of disturbs me. Because it's like, I don't know, there's another example out there where you ignore it and try to continue to get away with it until you're called on it. You know?
But they didn't play her at all this year, did they? I think they didn't play her at all this past season. I'm pretty sure that they didn't play her at all this past season. Some Flyers fans were on social media were mentioned. Obviously, I don't see every single Flyers game before the game to know. And they didn't have it. They didn't need many good luck charms this year. So maybe that was their way. They were going to remove her without formally removing her by not playing her at all this past season.
But if you ignore it, that's not right either. And I don't know if they did or not. And I don't want to put them in a bad light if they didn't. But it's like the Washington Redskins ignoring the protest of Native Americans and pretending it doesn't happen. And then trying to say that, no, we have information they're not offended by it. Well, it's offensive on its face. So either you have enough courage to act or you don't. Let's go to Tate in Mount Airy. Tate, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tate.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Tate?
I always got to commend you. Always touch on these issues. I'm going to scratch my Sixers point and just tell you what happened to me 2 weeks ago. Excuse me. So I had a road rage incident. I'm 50 years old. I'm an Air Force veteran, born and raised in Philly. So I had a road rage incident in Trooper, and the driver called me the N-word. So that's the first time in my life I've been called the N-word. So, and it made me see this the first time that I actually had some fear for how things are now. Now, I didn't fear that man, but I feared the fate of me, my two sons, and the possibilities. Because I was so mad that I almost was willing to do whatever it is to get at him, which is really not good for me. But our generation, Mike, the way we were raised, we want to get our hands on you. But today's generation, they don't fight. They just shoot you. So the way that we're wired is irrelevant to how things are now. So if I would have got out of my truck and went after him, he would have shot me. You know, then it would have ruined my family and all of that. So I fear the things that I wanted to do.
I'm glad to hear your story, Tate. I'm glad to hear your story, and I'm so sorry that happened to you. You know, we don't want to open a can of worms that takes this show into really totally serious territory here. We wanted to kind of keep the grips on the wrong or the right of this particular issue. And I understand what you went through. And I think it's a terrible thing. But it's also at the root of why we're talking about this particular thing. Because I want to improve things down the line for people so they don't have to go through that you went through. Travis in South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Travis.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Trav?
Not much, man. I think people got to realize but you know, what you see is people don't want to be enlightened. They want to live in ignorance and ignore it. And that's why even on a small level in these schools, that's why bullying goes on, because people don't step up and be counted. Like, nah, what you did was wrong. People got to step up. Like, I could care less. Kate Smith has never won a game for those Flyers. She's not a hero in my eyes. What she did was wrong. And even if it was the climate of the time, you had a duty to step up and be bigger than the time. You know what I mean? You know, it's like when I was a kid, they told me all these stories about Christopher Columbus. Then, you know, 30 years later, I find out he did some pretty bad things. He was a criminal by the Spanish. And, you know, Taino Indians don't have any love for Columbus. He brought disease, a pestilence, and enslaved their people. That's not cool. And schools and people have a duty to search out the truth and find knowledge. To act like it didn't happen, it's not cool. It's not cool.
All right, man. I appreciate it. I know this is going to take off like this, like it's taking off, because we've completely lost the Sixers here. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like just taking over.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, but this is why the Flyers had to remove.
Right.
That, because if they didn't, what would happen when the season started?
Right.
This is what you would hear. Yeah. It would overshadow everything else. So it's good that they do this now. So that everybody can move on.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of empathy for Kate Smith, and a lot of dissolving of responsibility. Now, I will acknowledge that back then in the 30s, that there were not just Kate Smith, but the majority of white people were undereducated on civil rights, and there were perceptions of inferiority to certain races, and we didn't have the gusto behind any kind of a movement in the 30s. And then as we got closer to the 60s, then the movement started happening. But I don't know if I can give her an excuse for that or not. Let's just say I give her the excuse. She was undereducated on racial issues. It doesn't matter once it surfaces in 2019. And it's unfortunate for her, her legacy, and her family, and a whole bit, as I said before. But you, like, what, once this comes to light, I'm curious to know what your solution would have been other than to not play the song and take the statue down. Like, what else could they have done? They couldn't have done anything in the year 2019 but do that. Anthony in Norristown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Mike, you missed.
What's up, Ant? What's going on?
Hey, man, quick Sixers point for you.
Yes.
I guarantee the Sixers make it out of this series now against Brooklyn.
You're going to guarantee that? No way.
That's pretty much a lock.
No. Okay. Don't guarantee. I mean, you're really going out on a limb. Come on, Ant.
I think Jared Dottie's all out of tricks now. I think so.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I don't think there's any way the Nets can win this series.
I think as next series against Toronto, I feel pretty great about that, as long as Brett Brown is able to get the Tobias Harris involved in the offense there. As well,
you do. You think you're going to get it? I'm still not there yet. Not there. I got to admit. Listen, the last two wins in Brooklyn taught me a little something about the heart of this team. But I'm not willing to go. They're going to beat Toronto yet.
You're not there yet.
Not there yet. I need more info.
All right, Mike.
I got an injured center. Like, listen, he played great on yesterday. But that doesn't mean that he is going to be Joe Reliable now as we go on for the rest of the playoffs. He's got a bum knee, and that's got to be put in the equation.
I hear. I think he'll play.
And if he sits out against Toronto, they have no chance to win.
They need Embiid, that's for sure.
Exactly.
My last point is number five, he's a moron.
Number five will always love you, though. Come on, man.
Number five will always love you.
He's not a moron. He's just he never figured it out. You know, he just never figured it out. I always had this theory about McNabb that he's just a spoiled kid. He was raised to be perfect. and he's a spoiled kid, and he doesn't understand the ramifications of real life, really.
What I thought was odd is he never owned the anger. This is what I would have done. Because if I had got booed at the draft, I would be angry about it. I would not have been able to understand it. No one would have been able to explain to me. I would have been angry. But I wouldn't have faked like I wasn't. I would have came out and said, all of you people that booed me are idiots. I would have said that immediately.
You're worse.
No, that's not worse.
That's not the way you handle
that
it.
That is how you handle
no,
it.
Here's
you keep
how,
it real. Authenticity works
it.
In this
you
city.
You handle it by saying it's ridiculous that 30 people who wanted Ricky Williams are going to boo me. I'm not going to take anything from it. That's the way you handle it.
Nah.
And
then
he has his parents squawking in his ear about how unrighteous it was for Philadelphia fans to do that. It was 30 idiots.
And they were stupid and they were wrong. But I think authenticity works.
See, you're reactive.
What do you mean?
Jared, Jared Dudley, how about you want to beat his ass?
I'm human.
30 drunks, Boop McNabb, you want to beat their ass. Just let it go.
You can't. You can't do that. And you, of all people, some people to just
listen,
let it go.
I'm a hot-headed Italian scorpion Sicilian.
Well, there you go.
If I can look at McNabb and go, but that stupidest thing you could have done was react to 30 idiots.
Well, what was worse?
Aren't you educated enough? You got a college degree. You went to a great high school. You can't recognize what this is?
Nah. I'm scorned.
Instead, you're going to hold that with you the rest of your life.
No. I would have got it all out that first
you
before.
You would have got it out.
I would have gotten all out.
Because if you expressed that you were angry about it, you would have carried it for the rest of your life.
Not me.
You don't drop your anger.
I'm a person who, once I can get it fully out, then I can feel better.
Stop.
But holding it in will destroy me.
Stop it.
Got to get it out.
He didn't hold it in. He bitched about it from day one.
Yeah, but he like half behind. He complained. He was
His father came out and made it worse.
Well, see, I don't need pops jumping.
That's what I'm saying. He's a spoiled kid. Nothing's wrong with my Donovan. How dare you?
That
was the worst thing they could have done.
And then, particular ones I said, you specifically who sits in the front row, you're not allowed to cheer me. Not you. I know your face.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you cheer.
That would have helped. The Tyrone method would have really cemented public relations for McNabb.
I would have embraced
in
him.
This town.
I would have embraced him.
Yeah,
you would have embraced him.
He would have had one fan, you.
Nah, he'd have more. Keeping it real.
Stop it. Keeping it real. Keeping it stupid is more like it.
Oh, it's real. He was angry. Just be honest. I think authenticity works in Philly.
Listen, there's legitimate anger and there's ridiculous anger.
That was legit.
That's not legit. There were 30 guys who wanted Ricky Williams who were conditioned to go down there and root for Ricky Williams.
They were told to go there. I would have took
exactly.
it out on the person who
so
told them to.
So you do a little studying on it and go, oh, I see what this is about. Ha, ha, ha. And you move on. And then you become popular.
You 30. Yeah.
Let's go to Ryan in Medford. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Mike, how you doing, man?
What's up, Ryan?
Not much. Real quick, it's sad that's a culture thing. I see things from a cultural standpoint because they're racist white people and racist blacks, Asians, Hispanics, whatever.
Let me ask you a question. How are there racist blacks and racist Asians?
I can tell you, I'm going to answer your question. You have darker skin who view lighter skin sometimes in bad ways. A lot of, believe it or not, people from Africa.
Okay, within the culture, American, within Africa, the culture yeah, you're talking right. about. But when it comes cross culture, how does that apply? Because basically, minorities
culture,
are fighting.
I mean, like the ghetto culture, the white people. I mean, there's white people that are ghetto. I mean, I'm not.
All right, move on. Move on.
Well,
I love this. While black people are racist, too. Black people are fighting for rights.
And I'm not condoning what she said. When you erase history and you get into a thing of everyone's so offended by everything, one, you prevent yourself from growing. Because the only way to grow is to be uncomfortable, to possibly be reminded.
Exactly.
Some bad things.
Exactly.
And we erase stuff.
Right. And so fighting against it is.
If you take something down like that, I get it to an extent, but you're going to repeat history if you're offended by everything and you keep taking everything down.
How?
If
you're doing it for the greater good to progress society, how are you making it worse?
You're doomed to repeat history when you erase history, when you erase things. By taking this down, no one's going to.
What are you talking about?
Everyone's going to forget about it. Someone else will be talking about something else new. You know what I'm saying?
The lesson here is that racist lyrics were offensive and that back then and now, and we grow from that. And we don't use racist lyrics.
Tupac memorials and Biggie Smalls memorials if you want to talk about things that are offensive.
You're calling from a perch in Medford. I get it. They're nice out there. A lot of trees and flowers. Beautiful.
Where's the Biggie stuff?
Should we play the song?
Don't get me started.
No, seriously, Mike, should we play the song? Picking any of it's only 2 minutes on the other side.
Let's play it.
It's 2 minutes.
We'll play it on the other side.
And people can decide on their own.
All right. Well, listen, they already know the lyrics. They're just down people are trying to defend the lyric, like, as something that, like, if we this guy's last rationale, we're doing to repeat history. It sounds good, we're doing to repeat history, but what we're actually is moving forward to embrace cultures. By denying that ugly part of history, we are saying it's not going to happen again. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, it's time to get a Twitter poll update. Lighten the load a little bit. It's a heavy load today. I didn't think it was going to get that heavy. And in doing so, we're cheating the 76ers, and I apologize for that because it was a brilliant victory. And so tomorrow night, they close down. So let's get the Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie?
Over 1,000 votes on this one so far. Do you think the scuffle on Saturday brought the Sixers closer together? 86% say yes, gave momentum. 14% say no, doesn't matter.
Okay, sounds good. All right, we're going to play this song now. What is it now called? Picking Any Lot? Something
picking Heaven.
Picking Any Heaven.
Picking Any to begin with is a racial slur. And it was then.
Yes.
So that's the one thing that want to make clear, that it's not used as much now. But that was a known pejorative in the 30s when the song was written.
All right, before you play a song, here I have an if P then Q, because to me it's a direct issue here. When she realized, whether she realized it or not, the song she did were racist. Whether it was 2 of 4,000 doesn't matter. The songs were racist. That's A. B. It was brought to light that they were racist in the red hot heat of a 2019 media lens. Therefore, it had to be handled this way. So I judge every case on its own merit. When you judge the merit of this case, you go, they had no other choice but to remove this statue. And it shouldn't dilute the rights of any particular race because Kate Smith got removed. All right, so play a little of this song. We'll hear it.
And now, folks, I'm going to sing this next song for a lot of little colored children who are listening in at an orphanage in New York City. Here you are, kids. Little Pickaninny, listen to the tale of a place that I know. It's twice as high as the moon. You get there in a balloon. Haven't you been told of the place where the good little Pickaninnies go? I've just been there, so I ought to know. Great big watermelon, roll around and get in your way. The Pickaninnies, heaven. Luscious polka bushes blooming right outside your doorway. In the Pickaninnies, heaven. I've heard the same, even California. She'll be waiting for you in the Pickaninnies. Heaven, heaven,
in a gingerbread house. They eat the windows and doors. They eat the ceilings and floors. Every kind of pet from a big teddy bear to a little Mickey Mouse. At old Black Hill with their Santa Claus. I've heard that they've even got a party.
Listen, it's embarrassing to hear that, right? And, you know, I will acknowledge that it was merely a reflection of the times and how white people felt about black people, which is to say they felt lesser. They felt that, that black people were lesser than white people, okay? It's a reflection of the times. But it, does it really matter? Like, we now know what the song was and what the lyrics were in, and they were using this woman to promote a sports product, and you just can't do it anymore. What are we not understanding about this? All right, let's go, Gary in media. Frank in Philly. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Mike. I don't condone what she did. I'm from Kensington, a bad neighborhood. I grew up a lot of blacks and Spanish. But my question to you is, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, all these guys from back in that era, they had slaves, correct?
Yes, most of them did.
Now, why ain't their schools knocked down? Why ain't their statues knocked down?
Well, it's a very good question. It makes for a good argument, and I don't know how to settle that. The only thing I can tell you is that you can kind of draw a line that presidents were running a country, and Kate Smith didn't know she was racist. Those guys didn't know they were racist. They're running a country. I have a little more tolerance for a president than I would for an entertainer, because okay. they're not playing a George Washington song at Flyers games.
But
all right, as far as we know, he was a president who had racist tendencies, right?
Yeah. Now, yes, correct.
Okay.
Now, my other question to you is, back in that era, these white people were known to dislike black and Spanish. I'm not saying that's correct, but back in that era, that's how life was.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's brought to light now. You can't ignore it once it's brought to light. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, Mike. Michael Jackson does his...
Let me ask you this. What are you trying... Frank, let me ask you the question.
Go ahead.
What are you trying to justify here? What are you trying to justify? Why does it bother you so much that the Kate Smith statue has been removed?
Because we react so fast to this stuff.
But why is it bothering you? Is it bothering you as a white man?
No, because I have black friends.
Well, yeah, I know. Everybody has black friends. But why is it bothering you as a white person?
Because it's about the Flyers. It's in our city.
It's about the Flyers. Okay. I get it. Well, that's a good justification. It's about the Flyers. Because, look, God forbid, it tarnished their product. It's about the Flyers. So he's really rescuing the Flyers. Mike on a cell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, Mike, what's going on, dude?
What's going on, Mike?
Listen, just in case you're interested, the Sports Illustrated this week with Tiger on it, inside is a great article about Lyle Thompson. He's a Native American lacrosse player, and how they're still being ridiculed. And they just had an episode against the Wings in Philadelphia where the PA announcer announced to the crowd that they should take him down and cut his hair right here. He was fired the next day. because their hair is their spirit.
Well, he should have been fired.
Great. But that's their spirit, and that's their and nobody's been more ridiculed than the Native Americans in this country. And it's still going on for them. It's a shame.
I get you.
So I just thought you might be interested in seeing that.
All right. I'll check that out. We get this. So we stopped playing Michael Jackson songs because he was a pedophile. Why are you fighting so hard against this? Why are you using so much energy to fight so hard against the Kate Smith statue? What is it? Give me the real reason. I mean, I'm open-minded, I'm hearing you. What is the real reason that you're so aggravated? Other than you think you're losing points as a white person. Corey on a cell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Corey.
Mike, what's up, man?
What's up, Corey?
I'm lost for words, man. I mean, how can two figures in the Flyers and the Eagles pass be so exhausting? I mean, McNabb is more exhausting now than with a quarterback here. And Case Smith, I mean, come on, man. You deserve to get banned. You deserve to get banned. If she needs to be banned, listen, ban her, ban R. Kelly, ban Michael Jackson. I don't care. If you did something disrespectful and disreputable and terrible like that, you get banned.
Don't think at it as losing a battle. Just think of it as progress.
Dog, no.
Like, we have people thinking they lost a battle here. I don't get it.
I don't understand. I was listening to that song, and I'm in my car by myself, and I was cringing. And I was like, anyway, listen, man. Let's talk about some bright, man, and fun, man. This is sports.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
The Sixers,
please do.
Man, you know, the Sixers.
Uh-huh.
Go make some noise. I was reading an article about everybody should boo Jared Dudley today. Thought, Jared Dudley, why? I would sit on my hands.
Applaud when he comes in.
Oh, yeah,
you should be happy that he's in the game. Forget booing.
Who is this guy?
Exactly.
He's Spider.
That's what I mean. Come on, he's not a villain that can hurt you. He's just a Zach Ronaldo.
Then he hits a couple shots and he puts his arms up at Ben Simmons, who already had a better career than Jared Dudley.
He's an on-the-court troll is what he is.
Really? Are you serious? But, Mike, I've been listening to you for years, man, and you said a couple years ago, out of all the Philadelphia teams, the Sixers are your favorite team.
Mm-hmm. I grew up with the Dr. J era.
And it's so much fun watching them. And to tell you the truth, I was ready for Brett Brown to go.
Mm-hmm.
But these past two games, he showed me a little something. He actually has coached and not motivated.
Yeah.
I thought he's a better motivator than coach, than X and O coach.
Yeah.
But these two last games, he showed me something.
There you go. Look at this. Brett winning points with the fan base all of a sudden. I see you, Brett. 610-632-0975. On the other side, I want to settle something about. There's a photo that was sent to me via Instagram, and it was Jake Arrieta's Instagram, and it's five Phillies pitchers after a hike, and I just want to straighten something out because all of them apparently released this photo on Instagram on their Instagram accounts on Sunday. And I'll explain what the ramifications of that are in a second. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5, the Fanatic NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's 4:47, Mike Mussinelli Show. Natalie, I have to ask you a question.
Sure.
What is the latest on Kendall Jenner and Ben?
I did see a report, I think like last week, that said that they had broken up, but I hadn't seen anything since then, so I think that they're fine.
Well, I just got emailed a photo of Kendall with Kid Cudi at Kanye's Easter celebration.
Really?
Yeah, but that's not enough.
No, because Kid Cudi and Kanye are friends.
Yeah, and she was at Coachella, and he was selling that stuff at Coachella. So that a picture alone, that's not enough. Because Cudi is
I'm trying to see if it's a hold hand situation.
Yeah.
It might be a hold hand situation.
Might be, but...
Let's see.
Has she broken up with him?
There was a rumor, but who knows? And we don't know who broke up with who. The rumor was that they broke up.
Okay, let me, hold on a second, let me look at it. I gotta check it closer. No, it doesn't look like a hold hand.
Yeah, so she's got
like a slinky top on.
Yeah, that's how she dresses.
Uh-huh. Okay.
She wears clothes to Sixers games. On the gram, she's always half whatever.
Okay.
That's not abnormal for her.
All right, I'm just checking. I thought Nat would know.
No, you're more on top of it than I am.
I get the photo sent to me.
No, I did see the article last week, but I did. Okay. I didn't see anything to follow up, so I didn't really take much credence to it.
Easter was yesterday, and the Sixers were playing.
Nah, Sixers didn't play yesterday.
No, I'm sorry. Saturday they played. Yeah. No, that's right.
And, but she's been there, and he was selling, don't get me started on, he was selling his quote-unquote church clothes for, he was selling $50 socks, $75 t-shirts, $250 sweatshirts.
He was selling the sweats?
Yeah, he was selling the sweats with the Holy Spirit and all his church clothes. And Cuddy's his guy, so there's not enough smoke with just that.
All right, here's this other thing I want to talk about. This Arrieta Instagram. He sent out a photo with this the following story. Every year, I bring an ambitious group of guys with me on a hike in Boulder during our trip to Colorado. This time, I chose Bear Peak, probably the most challenging thus far. In total, we logged 7.7 miles, and the last mile was a straight uphill climb. The feeling of reaching the summit as a group is extraordinary. Proud of these boys for waking up at 6 a.m. on game day and putting in work with me. Now, this guy sent me this photo saying that every one of these guys in the photo, and I'll tell you who's in them, they're sitting on rocks. The left is Jared Eichhoff, from left to right. Jared Eichhoff, Adam Morgan, Arrieta, Aaron Nola, Zach Eflin. Now, the guy wondered, they sent the picture out on Sunday. Jared Eichhoff pitched on Sunday. It was a day game. So I checked with the Phillies. And the Phillies say that this was actually done Friday morning at 6 a.m., thereby, because Nola pitched Saturday.
Okay.
Still going on a 7.7 mile hike the day before start.
I don't do that.
Well, anyway, the guy's problem was, if this came out Sunday, and they did it on Sunday, Eichhoff pitched that day. But I called the Phillies and said, no, it was Friday. So, whatever, if that's true, then they're off the hook. But still, and then Nola going on a 7.7 mile hike the day before start. I don't know about that either.
I don't know about his whole routine though.
Do you think he runs 7.7 miles the day before start?
He might run 5, is what I'm saying. I don't know his normal routine. If he runs 5 miles normally, I don't know his routine to know. And being that they're all doing it, the team had to be aware of it in some way.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Say it was Friday, but still.
And it doesn't really bother me.
No problem. And all the pitching Saturday.
No.
Day game too, wasn't it? No, it was that night game.
Night game. And he hasn't been great before. He wasn't the issue.
Okay. Yeah, the guy thought it was Eichhoff going on a hike the day of the game. And there's no way that would happen. All right, Gary in media, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gary.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Gary?
Hey. A little on the Kate Smith issue. This question for you. Do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Do I celebrate Thanksgiving? Yeah, yes.
What are we celebrating?
We're celebrating that our families getting together as a symbolic gesture of what the pilgrims did.
Basically, the white man stealing the Native Americans' land.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a comparison. I mean, it's apples, oranges. But yeah.
But it has evolved to the point where it's not about that anymore. It's about just being together with family.
No, I don't think so.
Really? You think we're sitting around talking about how the pilgrims chopped apart Indians?
It's still a celebration, Mike. I mean,
are you actually using this example as justification for Kate Smith?
It's not justification. I'm just saying how soft our society has gotten. I'll call you Marshall.
We've gotten soft because we pointed out racial activity.
It's evolving, Mike. It's evolving over time.
I'll ask you the same question as again. What is your loss in this whole thing?
There is no loss. It's just me as an American.
What are you bothered by?
I'm bothered by the softness of this society.
Everybody's offended by everything. So if you were a black person and you heard that song where there are plenty of watermelons and picking any heaven, you would not be offended.
I'm not, Mike, it happened 40 years ago.
And you're not offended because you're a white man, Gary. Let's face it.
No, I'm not.
You are. Come on, let's be real with each other. Aaron and Bluebell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
Michael, how you doing
today? What's up, Aaron?
Stop being so aggravated.
It's some aggravated. I'm asking everybody the same question. Where is your loss in this Kate Smith thing? That's why I want
to
know.
I've been going to the game since, you know, she was there. And, you know, this might sound harsh, but I wish they would have taken the statue down for other reasons. But, in other words, moving on.
Oh, well, I get you.
So not to make light of it. But let me just tell you seriously. So I have no loss. They're doing the right thing. You know, and I understand that. But you made a comment earlier when somebody called, which the slippery slope is tough for me. I mean, Malcolm X, you know, I'm a Jewish American. We're definitely a minority. 2.1% of the population is Jewish. So like I hear Natalie talk about whites and blacks. I don't think, like, Judaism, as you guys may or may not understand, is not a race. It's a religion. For example, look at Sammy Davis Jr. He's an African-American Jewish person. So Malcolm X, who literally performed in 1961 in a speech in Washington with the front row with members of the American Nazi Party, Malcolm X, who is, by the ADL, one of the largest anti-Semitic people, and then he got replaced by Farrakhan.
Listen, Aaron, I can't defend anti-Semitism.
Let me interject because you're missing
one big fact.
So you're missing the problem. Today, there are the six daughters of Malcolm X who are promoting a new line of clothing in the NBA. Mm-hmm. The NBA's office is at Malcolm X Boulevard. How is that not offensive to me?
It should be offensive to you. And I can't answer like how you would handle that. It should be offensive to you, but if you brought it out and it came out in the story, maybe there would be some support. I don't know, but there's one big difference: your skin's white, and you don't face the same hardships. It's just a fact. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Mike Masnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.